Hey, this is Ash, multi-exhibition, the place where we're passionate about sharing those unwritten hints and tips in dentistry. If you're new to the podcast, this is a place where we're going to talk reality, not fancy, reality. So hold on, strap in, get your seatbelt tightened up, make sure it's a 5-point harness because I don't want you to fall out of your seat. Some of the things you're going to hear about, just because it hopefully makes you feel like you're normal when you're doing clinical dentistry. So today, I want to talk quickly about a procedure I did this morning. It's a retrievement of a maxillary lateral right incisor, and it had previously endodontically treated with a lesion of endodontic origin, with a fiber post, large composite, and it was not healing. And this has been going on for a couple of years. And then, so what happened was fiber posts are pretty hard to kind of fiddle with, especially if they're short, wide, you know, there's a lot of wiggle room. If they're narrow and deep, it gets really complicated and complicated fast, and it gets really slow. Actually, it takes a long time. So I love using surgical guides for placing implants, which I don't place a lot, but I need to place some more. But I love doing them for these types of situations, calcified teeth or fiber posts, and boom, you know, I predict like a 20 minute fiber post grind through took me literally a minute and a half with a surgical guide. So let's go ahead and dive in to this case. We'll talk about it. Grab a brunch, some dinner. Might take a little bit of time. Anyways, this case was referred to me. Actually, it was completed by one of our clinicians in 2022, April. And I was looking at the preoperative radiograph. I mean, I treatment planned and actually had this guide printed, like 4 months ago. So when he rolled in today, I actually forgot what we were doing until I'm like, oh my gosh, we're ready to rock. And everything was ready to go. It just, you know, like you're busy. So yeah, so this endodontic therapy was started. I was looking at the radiographs, kind of the history of it. Started in like 2022, I don't know, February. And then the end of then there's a cone fit radiograph in like March, April, and maybe no, April, May, like a few months later, and there's a lesion, there's a cone getting fit, and then there's a lesion of endodontic origin, and I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And I've seen this fairly common, especially with newer clinicians. They do the pulpectomy, all, you know, the canal's not debrided adequately, the patient is scheduled for a few months in advance, and then a lesion all of a sudden erupts. Even though it was a perfectly vital tooth, well, not perfectly vital, it was obviously needed endodontic therapy, but the periapical tissues were totally normal. And it's very interesting to see this. I'm not sure if that's in your own experience. And I think it's just from inadequate apical debridement and just not so much a stabectomy, which is just a pulpotomy with just stabbing the apical portion of the canal. It's actually finishing to a certain size, like a primary, but just not irrigating enough. I don't know, not big enough, just apical debris down there, and it necroses. And in 2 to 3 months, there's enough inflammation for resorption of the periapical tissues. So this case, if you can visualize with me together, it's a maxillary lateral incisor. And it was either buccal decay or dens and vaginatus. I can't remember why the patient needed an endo. However, the endo was completed and it was finished to a large, I think, wave and go large. Fiber post was put in like halfway up the tooth, halfway down the tooth, depending on which way you're traveling. And then a composite. And then follow up a year and a half, you know, a year, year and a half, and even two years, the lesion is still there. So it was referred to me to finish it, to redo it. And of course you can do an apico or you can try to grind through that fiber post. And I took this opportunity to create a surgical guide. So what is surgical guide creation for grinding through, drilling through a fiber post entail? Well, it entails a hell of a lot of preparation in advance for literally a minute and a half of treatment time. So send for a small field of view cone beam, so it gives you high resolution. Then we get an intraoral scan or a set of models, and on which that I actually fabricated in Blue Sky Plant because it's free. the exports are free, but the program is free. And then essentially what I'm doing is I'm designing, I'm sure all of you are placing implants now, so in your software I'm designing a custom-made implant that is actually the drill. So it's a 1 millimeter in diameter drill. There are two different lengths. This is from a company called Steco. They're, you can get them in the States. They have a metal sleeve and that goes into the 3D printed guide, and then so they have a 3D, they have a metal sleeve which gives you a lot of actually really good points. I mean, you can, there are two different ways you can do this. You can either 3D print, there's a drill. So it's a 1 millimeter drill. They come in 21 millimeter lengths or 27 millimeter lengths, and you can use it for either drilling down to where a calcified canal, that's I've done lots of times, where the calcification stops, and then you can access it into a regular part of the apical portion of the canal, or you can drill through, stuff like fiber posts. So you can design your 3D guide to either have the guide act as the sleeve in a sense, so that there's no metal sleeve, or you can design the guide such that where the drill is going to go, this metal sleeve is fit in there. Now the benefit of the sleeve is that if you're pushing, there's less wear on the plastic. There's no plastic being worn. So if for whatever reason, when you start, there's an angle at the tip of your drill, that can kind of mess up your plastic in your sleeve, and that kind of, your alignment kind of screws up. Now you may think like, oh, well, I'm going to go with the metal sleeve. The problem with the metal sleeve is that it actually has a really weird, doesn't have a flat surface finish. It's got this like countersunk surface on it, and it doesn't fit flush into the guides. I'm like, oh my God, it's never ending. So anyways, I guess they do that probably for thickness, or I don't know. I have no idea why they do it. So it's not always perfect, is I guess my point. And the other, so some of the complications with doing these types of procedures, which there are freaking many because I've had to really print these things several times. So let's track back to, we get that data. I don't have a scanner, nor do I have a cone beam, so I have to outsource for that. Then that information gets emailed to me and I put it into Blue Sky Plan. I plan for a 1 millimeter implant to where I need the length to be. And then I have the digital version of the surgical guide created. It only takes about half an hour. Like when I started, it was like 3 hours to do this. And then once I'm happy with the dimensions, and one of the things that is really critical is that there's a tolerance of, because we're 3D printing, there's shrinkage, I think, or something like that. So the hole, if I need a hole of 3.5 millimeters for the sleeve to go in, I need to create that hole at 3.75, 3.8 millimeters. Because if I make the hole in the sleeve at 3.5, my metal sleeve won't fit. Been there several times because I keep forgetting what the numbers are and I don't write them down, of course. So after lots of finagling, I create this guide with a little bit of oversize for the sleeve, send that to either a dental lab, or I actually outsource to a 3D printing production. I actually prefer those because they're made out of nylon, and it's medical grade nylon, and the product is great. It's like $15. It's so cheap. Well, the thing is, it's in British Columbia, so you actually have to order like $60 to get, not so much free shipping. If you order $15 of shipping equals up to more than 60, I can't remember how it works. So I get a few of them and then I change the parameters on them and hopefully remember which guide is what, but the product is sharp. It's great. It's what I use today. Sometimes I'll get a lab to do it, and the lab ones are fine too. They just cost 10 times the price, actually more than that. So, and of course, if you can 3D print your own things, that's great. But honestly, at 25 years of doing this, I don't know if I'm going to dive into 3D printing my own stuff right now. I'm kind of like, just want to go to work, do my thing, go home. You know what I'm talking about. If you're brand new, you probably are really excited in 3D printing. So regardless, I printed for this one actually because I'm going to use it for training. I had the maxilla actually printed as well. So I was going to practice on plastic, his tooth plastic, and then whatever. Do it, I'll do it after. And then a magical day arrives, which I actually forgot was today. So first thing first, we try in the guide. Patient sits in, I explain what we're doing. He's a great guy. Fit in the guide, fits like a glove. I love it when it does that. And then when I first started doing these things, what had happened was I was doing it through a set of temporaries for prosthodontist buddy of mine. And they were really calcified teeth. And he wanted to put posts in them. So, like, we're calcified down to the bottom, apical third. So, and he had temporaries on there. So this is my first set. So I made up a couple, tried them in, did it. And then the problem was, is that I didn't make an access because I wanted to do it like minimal. But I also didn't really, it was plastic I was cutting through, but it was an inclined plane, you know, like the palatal surface of the tooth. So as the drill hit the plastic, it actually bounced towards the palate. And it didn't make a significant difference, but I think it kind of wore the sleeve just a little bit. So my guide worked out well, but it was a little bit wobbly at the beginning. It's hard to describe. Anyways, from that moment on, I'm like, yeah, I need to do a traditional access or decent access. And I did that today because even the patient that I was working with is a mechanic. So I explained what we're doing. He's like, oh, did you make a flush? He literally asked me, did you make a flush starting point for the post? I'm like, you better believe I did because I've done it before where I didn't. So I needed to access into the tooth, get to like around the CEJ or just above the CEJ where I could see the post, make it a square flat landing point, and then put my guide on, place the drill in, and cross my fingers that it was going to work. So I started off just putting a little bit of pressure. We started the drill at 10,000 RPM, or left it at 10,000 RPM, and then went down a couple mils because I was only really going 7 mils. And then took it out and was like, oh, looks good. Went to another 3 mils, 4 mils, whatever. And then I'm like, oh, we're on the money. Like took off the guide, looked down the canal. And then the last one is, it was 20 mils from the top of the sleeve to the start of the gutta percha. So it was 20 mils. The tooth is 20 millimeters long, but the guide, all the plastic included, made it to that point 20 mils. So I've made it down to 20 mils, pulled it off, and I'm like, okay, fingers crossed in my head. Boom, there's a gutta percha. And I'm like, wow. I love it. It's just such an amazing. It's like when you take a cone fit and, oh yeah, when you take a gutta, you take some sort of radiograph with your gutta percha in it, and it's like right exactly where you expect it to be. And you're like, oh my gosh, magic. So, and then from there, we just did a regular retreatment. Well, actually, that's a complete lie. I'm sorry. What I did was I elected to remove as much post and composite cement and whatnot from the gutta percha coronally, just to make sure that we need to bond to a clean surface of the internal integral surface of the tooth. Remove all that stuff out of there. So it took a month's burn. That took about 5 minutes just to brush all the walls. I probably didn't get the palate as much as I wanted to. Cleaned everything up, and then tackled the retreatment. And honestly, I placed some chloroform in there, took my wave on gold, and honestly, that file made it down to length within not very long. But what it told me is that it probably went beside the gutta percha. So there was a lot of space between the wall and the gutta percha. So when not even the situation. I'm just anticipating that we're going to a large hand file. So what we did was I like to use negative pressure irrigation a lot of times. So we're using a BC sealer tip. So we got all the gutta percha out. We wicked all the gutta percha out with chloroform, with paper points. Hopefully I can convey this visually to you. And then now what we're going to do is place sodium hypochlorite in there to get some disinfection. I keep forgetting to get her to get my dental assistant to pull out a head strip file before, but honestly, have a head strip file out. I usually have a 40 or 45 just to be able to pull up any gutta percha pieces, because there was one at the apical port I could not get and it went out into the abyss of the lesion, which is fine. And then it's large hand file time. So this actually ended up to be an 80, believe it, because there was resorption of the apical portion, apical probably 2 mils. My apical stop was at a number 80 size. So fit the gutta percha. This is probably the most important radiograph, is the cone fit. So we took a radiograph, cone fit, looks right on the money, place a sealer, and then we replace the post. So we did all that. I'm not going to get into place post placement. It's like Ali Nassate, as showed online. And then I'm going to put my post in. It's all done. And then I'm actually reducing the post before we're just about to check the bite. And I look at the composite restoration on the lingual, and I'm like, interesting. There's a bit of decay there. Okay, you know, I'm just going to trace this because we've got time. I'm like, I'm just going to trace this decay. I'm like, oh. And then there's, I'm like, oh, what's this at the incisal edge between the DO, distal buccal, and, you know, like a class 4 restoration on the distal. There's decay here, another spot. I'm like, oh, let's just track this. I'm like, oh my gosh. This whole half of the, anyways, remove the whole restoration. So we changed the rubber dam out to a 2-8 clamp on the 1-3. We put a new rubber dam, reset our workspace, remove the existing restoration. It's half the tooth. There's decay all around it. And I'm like that thin layer of decay, not bombed out, like, you know, headed towards the middle of the earth kind of decay. Just like a thin layer around it. Just like, oh my gosh. You know, I mean, my guide wouldn't have fit, guys, had I done all this before. But actually, that's what you're supposed to do, right? Regardless. So anyways, tooth is completely salvageable. And so we did like an open sandwich technique. Patient's a high caries risk. Aesthetics is not important at all. But I really wanted to... I've seen some really great things from placing resin modified glass ionomer versus just composite, especially in these types of patients. So I built it up along the margins with resin modified glass ionomer, and then finished like the coronal half of the restoration. And you'd have to see it, because there's a buccal restoration. I'm just like, when I see buccals in composite, they're usually bombed out over time. So, and I find a glass ionomer seems to last a bit longer. There's no comments for you to put in, so don't put any comments below. So we did that, and I used those new TACMED matrices for anteriors, the metal ones. Oh my gosh, what a lifesaver these damn things are. Amazing. Thank you so much, Dr. Lightcure. Phenomenal. So we did that, and then took a radiograph, finished it all up, new restoration, new endo, like a brand new guy. And then we'll see the patient back in a few months, kind of evaluate, see how things are going, and that's it. So if you're interested, this will be coming out at some point. I'm not sure. I'm moving home, so it's a lot of stuff on the go right now. But anyways, I am super grateful you're here. I hope you learned something from it. And you know, if you want some more advice on how to do surgically guided retreats or regular calcified teeth, let me know. Talk to you soon. Cheers.